Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Office Space Solutions Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishit Shah from Nuvama Wealth PCG. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth PCG, I would like to welcome you all to the second quarter earnings call with the management of Office Space Solutions, represented by Mr. Amit Ramani, the Chairman and the Managing Director, Mr. Sumit Lakhani, the Deputy CEO, and Mr. Ravi Dugar, the CFO. So without further ado, I now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone present on the call. Along with me, I have Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our Deputy CEO, Mr. Ravi Dugar, our Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. For Q2 and H1 results, we have uploaded our presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Let me start with a brief overview of the business for the quarter. We are pleased to announce a strong financial performance in Q2 FY25, with revenue growth of 40% year-on-year, reaching rupees 292 crores. This growth was largely fueled by contributions from newly added seats, as well as increased occupancy across our established centers. Our strategy to maximize utilization has proven effective, with occupancy levels steadily rising in key locations. Our co-working and allied services segment grew by 43%, reaching rupees 218 crores, driven by rising demand for flexible workplace solutions. Similarly, our construction and fit-out projects, which includes our design and build business, saw a strong growth of 36%, reaching rupees 68 crores. This is supported by a solid order pipeline and a favorable market condition. Our EBITDA saw strong growth, rising by 67% year-on-year to 100 crores, with an EBITDA margin of 34.3%. This reflects an improvement of 550 basis points compared to the same quarter last year. This margin expansion was primarily driven by strong revenue growth, occupancy improvement, increased contribution from enterprise clients, allied services, and operating efficiencies. As of September 2024, our overall exit monthly occupancy rate stood at 73%, with centers having operational for more than 12 months, reaching an impressive 84%. This solid performance underlines the ongoing demand for our flexible workspace solutions and reaffirms our positions as a preferred provider in this sector. I would like to share that we have exceeded 110,000 operational seats across 180 centers pan-India, a significant milestone in our growth journey. Including centers in fit-out stage and letter of intent stages, our total capacity now surpasses 150,000 seats across 224 centers, covering an extensive 7.6 million sq ft. This expansion underscores our commitment to meeting the growing demand for flexible workspaces and puts us firmly on track to achieve our target of 135,000 operational seats by March of 2025. In response to the rising demand for flexible spaces in Tier 2 cities, we have significantly expanded our footprint in these emerging markets. We are present currently in Ahmedabad, Bhubaneswar, Chandigarh, Indore, Jaipur, Kochi, Nagpur, and our latest addition is in Guwahati, which further strengthens our presence in these regions. Since September 2023, we have increased our footprint in Tier 2 cities by 43%, growing from 14 centers to 20 centers, underscoring our ongoing commitment to these high-potential markets. Now, let me highlight a few key developments for this quarter. I am excited to announce the launch of our first elite center at Aurobindo Orbit in Hyderabad's renowned high-tech city. Elite by Office redefines luxury in the flexible workspace sector, setting a new standard for premium work environments. This exceptional space blends elegance with functionality, creating a sophisticated and inspiring atmosphere. Built with a commitment to sustainability and well-being, Elite offers an environment that nurtures creativity and collaboration. Featuring carefully curated amenities, it is designed to be more than just a workspace. It is an environment where professionals can excel in both comfort and style. I'm happy to announce that Office has signed a mandate to design, build, and manage over 1.65 lakh square feet new space for NSE, National Stock Exchange, at Adani Inspire in BKC, Mumbai. Office already operates a co-working center in this building, and with this new deal, it expands its footprint with two additional centers in the same building. This partnership demonstrates Office capability to deliver high-quality workplace solutions tailored to clients' business needs and employee well-being. We are pleased to have built a strong partnership with Prestige, having collaborated with them on 16 centers that span 6,08,000 square feet of chargeable area. Building on this foundation, we are excited to announce opening of three new Elite centers in Mumbai, Delhi, and Bangalore, expanding our total footprint to 8,13,000 square feet of chargeable area in total of these centers. Each of these centers is designed to be high-end workspace, offering the very best in terms of location, design, and functionality. This expansion reflects our shared commitment to delivering exceptional workspaces and further strengthens our collaboration with Prestige. In September 2024, we successfully divested Office Care, our facility management business, to SMS Integrated Facility Services, a company known for its technology-driven capability. The divestiture will enhance operational efficiency by reducing administrative and compliance tasks, allowing us to focus more on our core flexible workspace business. It also strengthens our financial position by improving cash flow and liquidity, enabling strategic reinvestment in growth and technology. The streamlined cost structure will enhance the ROCE, optimize capital usage, and deliver stronger returns. Furthermore, this move allows us to sharpen our focus on leadership in flexible workspace market, emphasizing innovation, customer experience, and service excellence. To conclude, I would like to highlight that the flexible workspace market in India is on strong growth trajectory, driven by changing workspace preferences, technological advances, and economic factors. With current valuation at approximately 108 billion, the market is projected to reach 380 billion by 2028, reflecting a CAGR of around roughly 35% over the next 4 to 5 years. Office is well positioned to capture this demand with grade A workspace solutions in prime locations, offering premium design and project management. Our design and build model delivers innovative workspaces, focuses on speed, quality, and flexibility, backed by advanced digital technology. With our expertise, operational efficiencies, and commitment to innovation, Office creates environments that meet high standards in design, functionality, and safety, ensuring success in evolving commercial real estate market. Let me hand over the call to Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our Deputy CEO, to share Q2 FY25 operational highlights.
Thank you, Amit. Good morning, everyone. I would like to share with you the operational highlights for Q2 FY2025. On the supply side, as of September 2024, we have successfully crossed 110,000 operational seats, marking a significant achievement in our growth trajectory. Since September 2023, we have launched 52 new centers, adding 35,651 new seats to our portfolio. This expansion has allowed us to broaden our presence into 9 Tier 2 cities and 7 new micro markets, further strengthening our footprint across key emerging regions. Including centers under fit-outs, we have now reached a total supply of 205 centers with over 130,000 of seats and 6.6 million square feet of chargeable area. Our presence in Tier 2 cities have increased by approximately 43%, growing from 14 centers to 20 centers since September 2023, demonstrating our continued commitment to expanding in high-potential markets. We continue to expand our managed aggregation share with 76% of seats, including additions and those under fit-out, signed under this model. This approach aligns with our focus on an asset-light, risk-averse supply strategy and aimed at maximizing return on investment. We have a strong pipeline with signed letter of intents for 19 centers, adding almost 20,000 seats and 1 million square feet of chargeable area. This progress gives us confidence in achieving our target of 135,000 operational seats by March 2025. On the demand side, we have signed demand contracts for 14,000 new seats in Q2 FY25 and 25,000 new seats in H1 of FY25. To give you a perspective, we sold a total of 37,000 seats in the whole of financial year 2024. Our revenue base continues to be highly diversified. We have signed service agreement for two floors spanning approximately 1.65 lakh square feet with National Stock Exchange at Adani Inspire in Bandra Kurla Complex, Mumbai. Partial revenue for this transaction is expected to flow in Q4 of FY25 and full revenue will start from Q1 of FY26. In terms of occupied seats, approximately 66% of our client base consists of large corporates or multinational companies, 20% are SMEs and mid-corporates, and 13% are startups and the remainder are freelancers. In our portfolio, we have 39% multi-center clients. The contribution of 100-plus seat cohorts to our total cohort remains robust at 57%, reflecting the increasing confidence of clients in transitioning from traditional offices to flexible workspaces. Our blended exit month occupancy rate was 73%. Occupancy typically increases as new centers mature. For centers older than 12 months, the occupancy rate stands at 84%. The total average client tenure is 33 months with a lock-in period of 24 months, demonstrating strong long-term client commitment. Our client profile is well diversified with 2,877 active clients as on 30th September. That concludes my update. I will now hand over to Mr. Ravi Dugar, our CFO, for the financial discussion.
Thanks, Sumit. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to everyone. Let me give you a quick overview on our financial performance. For Q2 of 25, our consolidated operating revenue stood at ₹292 crores, which is a growth of 40% on a year-on-year basis. The operating EBITDA stood at ₹100 crores, which is a growth of 67% on a YOY basis. The margins stood at 34.3% as against 28.8% in Q2 of last year, which is a growth of 550 bps. For H1 FY25, our operating revenue stood at ₹550 crores, which is a growth of 39% on a YOY basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 179 crores, a growth of 62% on year-on-year basis. The margins stood at 32.6% as against 28% in H1 of last year, a growth of 455 bps. On the IGAAP equivalent basis, which is adjusted for Ind AS 116 lease rentals and other Ind AS, which is 109 and Ind AS 102, for Q2 25, our consolidated operating revenue stood at 292 crores, a growth of 41% on a year-on-year basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 44 crores, which is a growth of 160% on year-on-year basis. The margins stood at 14.9% as against 8.1% in Q2 of FY24, which is a growth of 690 bps. For H1 25, our operating revenue stood at 549 crores, a growth of 40% on YOY basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 73 crores, a growth of 199% on YOY basis. The margins were at 13.3% as against 6.4% in H1 of last year, a growth of 690 bps. For Q2 of FY25, IGAAP equivalent depreciation was at 19 crores and finance cost was at 1 crore. For H1 of 25, IGAAP equivalent depreciation stood at 35 crores and finance cost at rupees 2 crores. On Ind AS basis for Q2 FY25, our cash EBIT which is operating EBITDA plus other income less the actual lease payments, stood at rupees 52 crores, which is a growth of 115%. And this number for H1 FY25 is at 90 crores, which is a growth of 131% on a YOY basis. On PAT, in Q2 of FY25, PAT excluding exceptional items is rupees 15 crores versus a loss of rupees 4 crores in Q2 of last year. In H1, PAT exceptional items is rupees 17 crores versus a loss of 13 crores in H1 of last year. As of September 30th, our liquidity position is at a comfortable rupees 205 crores. The gross debt stood at rupees 28 crores. As a result, our debt to equity is 0.07, which was 0.14 in Q2 of last year. Our net debt to equity stood at negative 0.42, which was negative 0.17 in Q2 of last year. We see a further decline in our debt to equity ratio as our profitability and liquidity situation continues to improve. Our ROCE on an annualized basis has improved from 68% in Q1 of FY25 to 73% in Q2 of the current financial year. This is all from our end. We now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rishit Shah from Nuvama Wealth PCG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and congrats for a great set of numbers. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have actually 3 questions. So first question is regarding the design and build segment. So we have highlighted that we have kind of received orders worth about 175 crores in the first half. So just wanted to understand of this 125 crores, what part would be executable in the second half and what would spill over to FY26? Because I assume a part of this order book would also contain the NSE order. Should I ask all the questions right now?
Yeah. So with respect to the design and build, the orders which we have booked, a portion of it will be booked around in H2. With respect to the overall guidance from DNB business, we have not specifically given any guidance with respect to the growth in from FY24 to FY25. But it will, as our total guidance is about 30-odd%, so you can expect the overall D&D business to also, on a whole year, grow at a 30% plus kind of a scenario.
Got it. That makes sense.
And with respect to, just a clarification, with respect to the NSE, that will not be part of the design and build. That will primarily go into the space revenues. It's a managed office kind of a transaction.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sure, thanks for the clarification. So the second question actually was on the Elite brand that we have kind of launched this quarter. So just wanted to understand the rationale behind creating this new luxury or a higher, more than a premium brand when we already have Office Gold, which is already a premium offering. And also as to how the unit economics will differ in case of Elite in terms of revenue per seat or the capex or the margins.
Sure. See, if you look at, we launched Office Gold during the pandemic to cater to demand of large corporates who were adding Flex to their portfolio. So it delivers very strong value for customers seeking a premium experience. But with Elite, what we are trying to do is it is designed to offer an elevated workspace ecosystem for catering to larger demand in premium workspace segment with a focus on sustainable practices. The thought primarily stemmed from 2 key factors. What one we see is that the market size of premium workspace segment is showing very strong growth over the past few years, and it is projecting to grow even further. Second is the sheer GCC demand in India, especially in the flex sector. So with Elite, what we are trying to cater is the demand as a ready-to-move-in product for GCCs to experience and understand our capabilities before they take up a larger space with us. So that is the primary goal. And GCCs are the primary target customer. And as I mentioned, that the market size of premium workspace is growing. So we also see strong demand from consulting, BFSIs, and larger startups. In terms of the economics, primarily in a same micro market as compared to a flagship office brand, Office Gold generally charges a premium of about 15 to 25%. From Elite, we are expecting the seat realization, which will be about 40 to 45% higher than the office product. In terms of the overall capex, we are expecting the capex to be about 25%, 20-25% higher than the what we do for our base office product. And our contribution margin profile, because the Elite centers can come across both straight leads as well as managed aggregation, remains the same on a what we have for the office-based product.
Sure. That makes sense. And just to follow up on this, what kind of, in terms of the centers, what is the future? So we are already kind of started one center and planned another four. So
yes.
How do we kind of plan on taking this brand going forward?
So, see, the current plan is we'll have these five centers. We will selectively across key micro markets where we see a strong GCC interest. We will continue adding a few of these centers across. Just from a perspective, we generally as a company are not very aggressive with our expansion in terms of centers. So we'll see how the response is across these centers and then we will take a call.
Okay, great. And lastly, regarding a tier 2 strategy about targeting a tier 2 city, so we this quarter we entered Guwahati also. So can you tell us more about bit on the strategy and how do we see the centers growing in this area and also how the center's occupancy is expected to ramp up in tier 2?
So, the rationale for selecting the location, clearly Guwahati acts as a frontier to Northeast with huge opportunities. Guwahati also offers strategic location. It has an untapped market and obviously market potential. It has lower operational costs and a supportive government incentives. It makes it an attractive market for corporate offices. We feel that over the years, we shall be able to get up, multiple centers in the city and, catering to diverse ecosystem of demand. This center, obviously, the first one that we are going in is about roughly 230 seats. We look to expand to another center shortly, making us almost 500 seats in this location. The first center is, it's a managed office with a large ITIS client, and hence, obviously, the occupancy in this specific center is fairly good, almost, 100% day one. In terms of your other question on Tier 2 markets, we are fairly confident of the Tier 2 expansion strategy. As I mentioned in my earlier summary, that we have gone from 14 centers to almost now 20 centers, expanding our footprint in eight plus Tier 2 cities today. We feel that, the economics of going from 5 trillion to the 10 trillion economy is going to be built on some of these Tier 2 cities coming into the forefront. And we have a market leadership position. As far as occupancy goes, I think it follows a similar approach that happens in our Tier 1 market. There are two types of, strategies that we follow there. There is one where we do a straight lease. In that scenario, we would have to have a portion of the demand, 50 to 100% of the demand with us day one. The second we follow is a managed aggregation strategy where we expand into these locations in partnership with our space owners. And the path to occupancy follows a similar approach. When I have the ready client day one, obviously it starts off with a very strong occupancy. When typically this would be a managed aggregation center, then it follows the same process of anywhere between 6 to 9 months to get to 80+% occupancy.
Right. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense and clears out a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agrawal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning everyone and congratulations on a great quarter. My first question is, you know, your FY25 guidance was a 30% year-on-year revenue growth and 1.5 percentage point improvement in margins. You know, I'm talking about the IGAAP equivalent numbers and guidance on that. If I look at your first half numbers, it seems you've already achieved about close to about 60% of what your guidance was on the at the EBITDA level, again on IGAAP equivalent. So then in that context, how do you look at the second half performance? And in that case, do we see that, you know, this performance that we've delivered in the first half, especially in the second half, is sustainable? And would that mean that your guidance stands revised or any comments that you want to share on that?
Yeah. So Mohit, you're right. We are witnessing a very good business momentum from H1. And this is actually accompanied by what we see as a consistent behavioral shift in the occupier segment towards the flexible workspace sector. As you would have noticed, I mentioned around our total new seats sold in H1 of FY25. Versus what we did in the whole of FY24. So that would also reflect the kind of momentum we are talking about. So with respect to the growth momentum and the overall occupier demand, it's a very strong and consistent. We expect it to happen over the next couple of quarters. With respect to the guidance, one thing what I can only say is that we anticipate about upside potential to the guidance, which we have shared at the beginning of the financial year.
Okay, but will the second half, the second quarter performance, 40% revenue growth and close to 15% margins, is that a number that you expect probably to continue in second half as well?
So Mohit, I would probably not want to get into specifics. But what I would say is we are expecting consistency with respect to our numbers. And so from a full year perspective, we are expecting that there would be an upside potential to the overall guidance which we have given for the financial year.
Okay. My next question is on, you know, the seat pricing. And I was just trying to do some math here. Is there what I'm seeing is a meaningful increase in the the monthly seat price. Even when I calculate it on a per square feet basis, just trying to understand that, have you taken some hike which is over and above the usual 5%, or is it a case of mix, or you know, if you could explain that if my calculations are incorrect. But I'm seeing a more than a 5% year-on-year increase in the seat pricing.
Yeah. See, if you look at the overall as a trend with respect to our seat pricing is has a direct correlation with the micro market rentals. And as the overall CRE demand has increased, the overall micro market rentals have increased, and that is currently also reflecting in our seat pricing. So in a couple of our contracts of clients, when of the new contracts, as well as when they are getting completely renewed, we see a larger kind of a jump in our seat pricing realization. So that is, one reason what you see. Second, I would primarily say on a quarter-on-quarter, there could be an overall variation in what we see as a seat realization. It's also a function of the total number of new centers which went live in various kind of micro markets. To give you an example, if we go in a tier 2 city micro market with a very low seat rental, you would see a lot of seats which will have which will reflect a kind of a lower seat pricing, versus let's say if we set up centers in a higher rental micro market, then you will see a kind of a higher kind of a, you know, a seat price. So it's primarily a function on that, but yes, overall there is a trend towards a higher seat realization.
And that would have also contributed to the higher margins? Do you think the higher seat pricing would have also contributed? Or this would have been all offset in the way of higher rentals to landlords?
So it is contributing, because a couple of centers with a higher realization from various customers have jumped in. One of the other reason why contribution margins are are getting impacted is because of the positive thrust we are getting from our alternate space revenue. So that is also helping us with respect to the better margins. Apart from the overall seat price realization, what you see.
Okay, and one last clarification on the Elite portfolio, the initial centers. Could you share, are they all straight lease or managed aggregation or a mix of both?
So they are a mix of both. So they are a straight lease and managed aggregation. So it's a mix of both.
With the Prestige portfolio also, it's a mix of both, or is it managed aggregation?
From a Prestige portfolio also, it's a mix of both. With respect to in few of them. Where there is the capex contribution by Prestige and a share.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. All the best. And if I have more questions, I'll join back. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Amit and Sumit. Just a couple of questions. We did speak earlier about the guidance being broadly, on the lines that we had indicated earlier. But this margin that we are seeing here of almost close to 15% for this quarter, is this how you would expect the margins to be going ahead, given all the mix changes and diversification into tier 2 towns, etc.?
So Ashish, I think obviously it's partly because of the operating efficiencies that we are able to drive in the business, a bit in operating leverage. So as Sumit mentioned earlier, the guidance for the year obviously is going to be better than what we had given earlier. And the margin profile, obviously the business is continually looking to get these efficiencies and leverage into the mix, and I think we will be somewhere close to that itself for the rest of the year.
Right. And, the blended occupancy at about 73%, so this is obviously better than close to 70% that we used to be earlier. And you think that given the rate of expansion that we are having, again, should one look at similar 73% plus minus occupancy, or you think 70% still is a good benchmark to hold on to for the blended?
So Ashish, I think it's a for a year basis, I think the 70% blended would be a good benchmark to hold. Obviously, as you can see, we added about 10,000 seats in this quarter, but we also sold almost 14,000 seats. So the momentum of sale of seats for the H1 is almost 25,000, and for the full last year, FY24, we were at about 37,000. So I think the sales momentum is keeping up with the seat addition. But I think in terms of guidance, if you were to ask us, I think the 70% benchmark is a good benchmark for the whole year. This quarter, obviously, we have done much better than that.
Right. Moving on to the cash flows. So this quarter we've done actually well. We've generated a positive cash flow. The capex, what would be the capex number for the full year? I think first half we've done something like 83 odd crores. So given your expansion plans, where would you put the year's capex at?
So Ashish, will continue investing in capex basis our growth needs. So that, we'll continue, obviously, we'll exceed the capex guidance what we have given at the, start of quarter one. But obviously, looking at our growth needs, we'll keep evaluating our capex spends.
So sorry, if just to recap the number, are we looking at 130, 140, if I recall, is that the number we have?
140 was the guidance what we had given at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And, keeping the capex in line with our growth, we'll, keep evaluating our spends.
Right, but for this year, for the plans that are already rolled out, 140 seems to be like a number that to go by.
Yeah, sir.
Okay. And maybe just one last thing. Obviously, we are doing well. The sector itself is also doing well. But we see that there is obviously a lot of competition also building up, right? A lot of other players are getting funded. And we're hearing a lot of new names coming up. So how are you seeing the impact of that competition coming in? Is that impacting our ability to lease at reasonable rates or some sort of distortion is happening there.
So, Ashish, if you, the way we look at business is, in our business, the competition had always been there. It has been there since last, 7 to 8 years. Now, rather, post-COVID, what has happened is, the top four players are taking a larger portion of the market, and the whole competition has become more organized, and which has become, more interesting. We are not worried about the competition intensity, because as of now, what we see is it has probably diluted a bit because it has become more organized and streamlined. Because it's a kind of a physical brick and mortar business, and the behavioral changes on the sector is there. So there's an extraordinary kind of demand across various micro markets, across various kind of products, which is, driving it. Where we see our primary differentiation is a much larger network of centers, the ability to cater to multiple segment of occupiers. So someone requiring less than 25 to 50 or 100 plus seats, ability to swim across various segment of customers, larger enterprises to startups. So these are the few differentiations which we think are strong moats for us. And a lot of our competition, what we see, players are very focused on one or two segments around. So we feel very confident around on, swimming across the current competitive intensity.
Plus, Ashish, clearly our supply strategy is completely differentiated, right? Hence, our capital requirement is probably the lowest, and hence we get to about 70%+ on the ROCE numbers, right? So I don't think this is, a capital, if you get, a great amount of capital, you can just continue to expand. It's a very execution-heavy business. And I think capital has a role to play, but I think the ability to cater to the demand, we have 2,700 plus customers today, and obviously the ability to cater to multiple micro markets. We are in 57 micro markets across the country today. So I think that differentiates it, and our ability to cater on the supply having a differentiated model, and on the demand, the catering to less than 100 seats being almost 50% of our business, I think clearly differentiates us from the competition. I think we will continue to have healthy growth in the business.
All right. Thank you, and wish you all the best, Sumit. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Adidev Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is on our expansion plans. We are around 150,000 seats with the pipeline. So by the end of March, as we get into March of 25, any indicated number on the total operational plus pipeline which we are targeting? That is the first question.
So in terms of the operational seats, Aditya, we are expecting about to close at about 135,000 live seats. At any single point of time, we have generally about 10 to 20,000 seats which are under fit out, and a similar kind of seats which are where we have signed the LOI. So in March 25, I expect that we'll be in a similar kind of a situation where we'll have about 135,000 live seats, a large number of seats, 10 to 20,000 seats will be under fit outs, and then we'll have signed LOIs of about another 10 to 20,000 seats.
Okay, so to understand, over the 135, you would have another 40,000 odd under construction plus LOI seats, right? Is that the right way of understanding it? Over and above.
Yes, assume around 30 to 40,000 over and above 135,000 across the category of under fit out and signed LOI.
Sure. So second question is obviously on the margins you already highlighted for the quarter, sir. But on the rental costs and other things, are there any one-offs or any one-time savings which will be built in, which may again come back in the next few quarters over there? Good clarification on that.
Yeah, hi, Adidev. This is Ravi this side. No, there's nothing of that sort.
Okay. So next question is...
Except for the care transaction, what's shown as an exceptional item.
So next question is on our whatever ESOP policy that we have obviously highlighted now. Is there any expected P&L impact over the next few years or next couple of years rather on that? Or is it all just taken the normal dilution level?
So, Ajidev, you know, for this new ESOP policy, I mean, we are obviously exiting the, most of the, you know, vesting will happen for the existing policy, which is 2015 ESOP policy. So, I think that vesting will get completed in the next, in the next 2 quarters and probably in the next first quarter of the next year. So, after that, obviously, with the new policy coming in, so we can expect a similar trend on the ESOP cost between the years.
So to answer your question, there's no incremental impact. The impact that you see today will
Okay, fine. So the last question is again on the seat pricing. This is for obviously the normal co-working which we do, right? So any indication of year-on-year growth in the pricing of the seats which you'd like to share for the normal co-working which we do?
So, it is primarily most of our contracts generally have escalation clause built in. For larger enterprises, it ranges from about 4 to 5%. For enterprises of smaller, for companies with smaller cohorts, about 5 to 7%. And this is how even our new sales are happening for this segment of customers. We expect it to continue in a similar line. Now, when we are signing up new centers completely on new clients, the seat pricing is a direct correlation with the base micro-market rentals. And as of the current vantage point, what we see, the CRE micro-market rentals are growing up steadily. And that's why you see a kind of, you know, growth in the seat pricing for the upcoming couple of quarters. At least internally, we have a view that across major micro markets, there is a bit of supply constraint. So the rentals will continue to be on a higher side.
Okay. Sir, and excluding the enterprise, I'm just saying excluding the larger enterprises, right, for the normal retail which we do, are you able to command now a sort of higher pricing? Because obviously, that would be depend on the demand supply, right, playing out in that specific micro market.
Interestingly, if I can tell you, and that's where our business becomes more interesting, because a decent portion of our business, about 43% of our business, also comes from less than 100 seats. The general trend we have across over the last couple of years we've seen is the smaller cohort, the seat realization is always higher than the enterprise cohort. So someone looking at, you know, 400 to 500 seat versus someone looking at 30 seats, the 30 seater, the seat utilization is always higher around for us. So we don't see, and the competition in the less than 100 seat cohort is very limited. I'm talking about the branded competition. So so we have a, you know, a good ability to provide, you know, to get higher utilization in this segment. So primarily the core co-working segment and the non-enterprise segment there, because customers are looking at a very strong consistency of service within that segment as well.
Okay, sir. That was all very helpful. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satvik Shetty from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. I have two questions. Firstly, sir, if you can talk about the current growth trends that you're seeing in the commercial real estate space and the flex market, and what's the outlook there in the coming years, and how you as Office are looking to capitalize on the same. And secondly, on if you can explain the rationale behind the sale of your Office Care segment, and what benefits do you see coming out of this transaction for you?
Sure. So on the first part, which is the growth trend, so we are witnessing obviously a dynamic shift in this sector. This is obviously marked by strong growth trends overall in the Indian office space market, which is projected to grow at about 6 to 8% CAGR. However, the flexible office space market is experiencing even more traction,
than the commercial real estate market. So with a remarkable projected CAGR of 25 to 27% in the next five odd years across tier 1 and tier 2 markets. In FY24, the flex space leasing absorption was 25% of the total CRE absorption. Flex space industry size is looking to treble to about 380 billion by FY28, right? And from the current about 108, which was in FY24. The flex space workspace penetration is expected to increase to about 20% by FY28 from the 10% currently. So obviously the key reasons as we see it is one is flexibility, customization, and the bespoke offering. Obviously the rise of GCCs in the country and the core and the flex of hub and spoke, strategies that the companies are implementing right now. And as far as we go, obviously we are among the top 5 players in the country across all organized players. And in when it comes to the network, we are the number one in the country with the number of centers. Plus, clearly, the strategy in terms of tier 2, we have one of the largest coverages in tier 2. We are also the only player to have a large portfolio of risk-averse supply, which is managed aggregation, makes us capital efficient and risk mitigated. Last year, we had sold about 37,000 seats in a single year. This year, in the first H1 itself, we have sold about 25,000 seats. So very strong sales team that supports the supply acquisition team. And obviously, we are one of the first players in the industry. We are the pioneers in the co-working space. So we believe that we can continue to keep that momentum and continue to differentiate ourselves in this space. On the second part of your question on the office care transaction, so we had strategically divested this transaction right to SMS, which is Integrated Facility Management Service Company, strong in terms of technology and process. So essentially, we did the transaction for about 27.5 crores, right? This move allows obviously us to prioritize the focus on our current business, position ourselves better in the flex workspace market, expand our network, and obviously, driving innovation in the customer experience and, technology integration. The benefit that we see in terms of the overall transaction, one, the divestiture will benefit us by reducing administrative overheads. A lot of compliances were required in terms of 3,000 plus people being directly on our rolls. It'll also enhance operational efficiencies while providing additional financial flexibility to invest in our growth and expansion. The transaction is expected to be cash flow accretive, improving our working capital cycle, providing increased liquidity, which will help positively impact the ROCE. This will also optimize the use of capital to generate higher and long-lasting returns for its shareholders. It reinforces obviously our commitment to delivering strong financial performance, operational excellence, and exceptional service to our clients and creating value for our stakeholders. So those are some of the things that we believe will have positive impacts.
Great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Shrimal from Pink Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, in the managed space model, is there some risk for the company we have to take care of if something goes wrong? Hello?
Sorry. Can you repeat your question? You are saying in the managed space segment? Sorry, I didn't understand that.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, my question was that, in the aggregation model, what can be the risk or what can go wrong with that model?
Okay. So, in a typical managed aggregation model, what we try to do is we try to create a win-win situation for us as well as the landlord. So, it's not a one-sided kind of an agreement. The primary risk we run in these managed aggregation models is that these are these speculative centers. When I say speculative, that means that we need to build the occupancy of these centers post committing to sign up these centers. Now, the risk we run is whether we are able to build the occupancy in a right time frame for these centers, because if the occupancy is not built in the right time frame, we'll not be able to get the desired contribution margins for ourselves as well as the returns for the space owner. Generally, to mitigate it, we spend a lot of time, resources in terms of running various kind of research of micro markets, buildings, the potential demand in these markets. So, occupancy build-up risk is the primary risk in the managed aggregation, supply centers.
So, sir, when the demand goes down, let's say over the time, so will this model will be affected the most?
No. So, actually, it works the other way around. The model will not be affected the most. If think of it this way, if we have a 700-seater straight lease center versus a similar size managed aggregation center, and in the fourth or fifth year of operation of that center, the demand completely goes off in the micro market or the other aspect. In a straight lease, we will be more adversely impacted because we will have to continue paying the fixed rental. Now, in a managed aggregation, the impact of reduced demand or reduced occupancy is going to be shared between us and the landlords. So, we will be less impacted in managed aggregation versus in a straight lease kind of a center.
Okay, sir.
And
sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat from Niveshya Investments Advisory. Please go ahead.
Congratulations. First of all, on the...
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Sir, I would request you to speak a little louder.
Okay, okay. So, first of all, I would like to ask, what would be the effect of displacement of AWS Dell segment? It has around 3,000 employees. So, would it reduce employee cost at large number?
So, if I understood your question correctly, the question was with the office care reduction of 3,000 employees, will it have an impact on our employee cost, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, in this office care business, the employee cost is kind of a, cost of goods, right, in some ways. So, technically, the business went away and the cost went away. So, I don't think overall in the employee cost, there would be a major impact. But obviously, we had certain impact which was not billed to the client. The staff was not billed to the client. So, to that effect, it will have a positive impact to the overall employee cost. It will actually go down a little bit.
But that will that cost will come under other expenses line.
Okay, okay. So, another, what is there any breakup for seats under managed office and seats available for remote?
Sorry, I couldn't understand your question. You have to be a bit louder.
What number of seats are available under managed office model and how many seats under co-working model?
So your question is basically the total number of seats under straight lease model and the managed aggregation model.
No. So I've understood. You are asking under managed office and under co-working, what is the split? Broadly speaking, about 30% of our business is from managed office and about 70% of our business is from co-working.
Okay, okay. So, is there any trend about
that? I would request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up question. Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Rishad Shah from Nuvama Wealth PCG. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. Just one question in the Elite brand. So we have mentioned the number of centers that we are planning to go ahead with. But in terms of seats, if you can tell us what is the seat count in the Hyderabad center and also the four centers that we are planning.
So typical seats we are exploring is about 700 to 1,000 seats per center. So that's the typical guideline with which the supply team is working. 700 seats is primarily across the Hyderabad center. With respect to a few other centers, a couple of them are a bit larger. Their seats ranges from about 1,000 to 1,300. But overall, from our overall expansion in Elite, we are looking at a sweet spot about 700 to 1,000 seats per center.
Okay. Thank you. That was it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishna Shah from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
One small question. Do we plan to launch SM REIT at any point in time to raise funds?
So as of now, there is, no plan.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Simanto from HS Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Simanto, I would request you to please speak, ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, sir. So just wanted to know that in terms of seasonality, how it's affect our business, like QOQ or YOY, if you can highlight on that.
So from the overall seasonality perspective, in terms of the demand of seats, we don't see any kind of a major impact. Some minor impact we see is a bit of seat signing gets a bit deferred for a few weeks during the festival seasons or the end of the calendar year. But it doesn't have any kind of meaningful impact on the business. On the cost side, there is a bit of impact during the on utilities. So across various regions during the summer months, there is a bit larger impact and, you know, utility bills are a bit on a higher side.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So we thank everyone for joining the call today. We hope we have been able to give you a detailed overview of our business and also answer your queries. Should you have further queries or clarifications, please feel free to reach out to SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you. And wish you all a very happy and prosperous day.
On behalf of Nuvama Wealth PCG, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.